Hey guys, good morning, gentlemen. So good to see you guys again this morning. And just like Pastor Mark said, just a sweet move of the Holy Spirit and gathering together as men, you know, and see what the Lord has for us today as he's edifying us and strengthening us through his Holy Spirit and through his word. And you know, as a theme for this conference, Man of Valor, the Lord put in my heart, and I would like to look deeper at some of the rich and insightful verses that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's regarding the man of God. And, you know, as we might have a perception as to what it means to be a man, it is true, we are called to be strong. We are called to be brave, valiant. So let's look together at this portion of scripture as I believe the Lord led me to share with you today some practical points that we could apply to our lives as we seek to be valiant and more like our Lord Jesus. With that said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, again, we just humble ourselves before you, Lord. We humble before you, Lord, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for you set aside your majesty, Lord, and your power, your strength to come, Lord, to die for us, Lord. That we, through your sacrifice at the cross, Lord, would be forgiven, receiving of your grace and your mercy in our lives, and through that, Lord, having a new life in you. We're just so thankful for that, Lord, for us that have received it here today. As men, Lord, we thank you, and we ask, Lord, that you would stir up in our hearts, Lord, the proper response, Lord, for that sacrifice at the cross, knowing that is not out of our works, but rather out of what you've done for us, Lord, that love, because we love you because you first loved us. So, Lord, if there's anyone here today at the same time, Lord, that doesn't know you yet, I pray, Lord, that through your word, you would bring conviction of sin and repentance, Lord, for eternal life. So we ask, Lord, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, minister to everyone here. And we ask in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. So 2 Timothy, as you guys know, it's written by Paul. And Paul here is writing to Timothy for the second time as an encouragement to stand up for righteousness. As he's dealing with different issues within the church, over and over, Paul would encourage Timothy. And perhaps this is insight from the Holy Spirit of Timothy's personality. In his epistle, Paul gives details as to how circumstances have worsened as he refers himself as a drink offering and that his time is at hand, being abandoned by all but the Lord. That's later in the epistle in chapter 4. And he's most likely in a Roman prison and knows that his time is coming to an end. He has fought the good fight. He has finished the race. He's kept the faith. By this point in the epistle, Paul has already addressed a couple things. That is Timothy's heritage, encouragement not to be ashamed of the gospel, loyalty to the faith, strength and grace, the approved and disapproved workers. And here in chapter 3, in the beginning portion of chapter 3, he describes the perilous times and perilous men. Simply stating that in the last days, perilous times will come. And Paul will proceed giving us a list of some characteristics of these perilous men. And I'll note that that word men here in the original language will refer to men and women. But in a nutshell, it does describe the state of mankind, especially in these last days. So I'm going to read that list of what in summary here of what chapter 3 would describe as perilous men. But pretty much it goes like this. It says, lovers of themselves, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than God, You see, and as I read that list, I look back to my own life before the Lord. I look back to who I was before the Lord and who maybe some of you were to a bigger extent than others. But the truth is that without the Lord, this is who we were and the reality of the flesh nature. But here is the caveat. In Christ Jesus, we not only have victory, but we are a new creation. So with that in mind, let's begin here on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. He says, but you have carefully followed. I'll make a pause here. After describing the perilous man, Paul will move to exhort Timothy and remind him of all that he has heard, seen, and been a part of. It must be noted here the importance of following. Timothy clearly followed Paul, and not out of mere blind faith. I reckon he followed because he knew the Lord was leading him. You see, it's funny, I have a three-year-old, and just seeing his the way he is, the way, as Pastor Clint was talking, the way the Lord made men since a young age, fighting with swords. It's funny to see him swing that sword around with his cousins. They're all around the same age, and they're closing their eyes, swinging the sword at each other. It's just funny because you see that since a young age, just that desire to have something in their hand and whack. It really is funny. And I read books to my son, and we've been reading these last 2 weeks a book called Knights. And it's just a simple story, pretty short, basic, but it describes the pathway of knighthood. And I try to make it interactive for him in this particular book, encouraging him of that pathway to knighthood. First, the first couple of years of a young boy's age, he's been trained and schooled, in quotations, by the mother up to the age of 7. He's receiving the proper etiquette of how to do things. When it comes to age 7, they move forward to the next stage, which is a page. He starts receiving some responsibility. He starts to understand that there's a battle. He starts getting trained. He gets sent off under the responsibility of someone else, that it's either a soldier or a king, and he's getting trained since a young age. He then moves forward after certain years under that training to become a squire or armor bearer. And the interesting thing about a squire / an armor bearer is that they had, along other duties, one of them was to be in the battle with the soldier or the king. They would be there to facilitate things to the soldier or the king. They would be there to provide support, to pray for them, to carry the armor, to carry the sword. And they'd be witnessing hand in hand what the soldier or the king would do in battle. In the same way, Timothy, following the footsteps of Paul, he would see and watch Paul. He would see how the Lord was leading and moving through his Holy Spirit, understanding the importance of following. And I would suggest and submit to you guys here today, there is a value there. As we too find ourselves in different stages of our life, we need to find those men around us that we can see and see the evidence, see the fruit of the Lord in their lives and say, you know what? I know that person is following the Lord. I need to see how this is done. I need to ask questions. But here Timothy clearly followed Paul. He followed. See, Paul would warn different churches that after his departure, men will arise and draw them after themselves. Again, so many want to lead, but not many want to follow. And I don't say this simply about following a man. I say this about following the man, Jesus Christ. We're called to follow him. And how does that look in our lives? As we submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ, it means that we're no longer leading our lives. It means that we are allowing the Lord to lead us. We're surrendering what we want for what he wants. As we seek him, he starts changing the heart. He starts changing those characteristics of what we read earlier about the prayerless man. He starts changing us to be more like him. But yes, it does apply even with leadership in many ways. Work, church, many want to lead, but not many want to follow. And it is a humbling thing when the calling is to follow. Timothy understood the calling the Lord has placed in his life during this time. And as a man being exhorted to be valiant, Timothy understood the structure and the order. Our God is a God of order. See, imagine this, going back to that analogy of the armor bearer or the squire being in the battlefield. If he out of nowhere decides, you know what? I can take up this sword. My king, my soldier, he doesn't see the enemy like I do. I've been watching him. Well, that creates a problem, because now as that armor bearer or that squire raises up that sword, he now creates a problem to where the heart of his soldier or his master or his king most likely would be to protect the squire or the armor bearer, making a vulnerability. Again, using that, I don't mean that we don't engage in warfare, but rather painting the point of understanding structure and order. And our God is a God of order. Whether we call it rank, shock collar, or respect, we must learn it. And there's no mention here of Timothy's father in the scriptures, and whether it made it easier or harder for him to submit to discipleship, we don't know. But still, I would submit to you guys, Timothy understood God's sovereignty of his life. He knew that, yes, it might seem like I'm submitting to a person, but ultimately, I'm submitting my life. I'm rendering my life to the lordship of Jesus Christ, knowing that he has a structure, knowing that he's indeed in control. On the other hand as well, this would imply the same for Paul. See, Paul understood the calling for discipleship, the importance to be poured out, as he would describe, as an offering for the Lord's sake, identifying, being aware of the open door from the Lord to disciple. And the reality is that some of you men here, or a lot of you men here, have tons of experience, tons of years walking with the Lord, filled, but not being poured out. And brothers, please, I would exhort you and encourage you to stir up that gift that's within you. If you see a younger brother struggling in the Lord, pray for him, encourage him, come alongside him. And to be honest, as a younger man, you know, it is a valuable thing when somebody who's walked the walk, who's fought the fight, shares the insight. We need the insight. So please, brothers, I would encourage you, don't let the enemy bog you down with a lie that you're no longer needed in the game, for that is a lie. But rather, see it for what it is. Understanding the season of life, understanding the warfare, and I don't mean mere physical warfare, there is a part of it, but more of the spiritual warfare. Sharing the inside was something that Paul understood, the calling for discipleship, the importance of being poured out again as a drink offering for the Lord's sake. We continue here in the verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. And I'm going to break these down a little bit. I'm going to take some time here on verse 10. But my doctrine. So Timothy witnessed Paul's ministry and his teachings. It's been said, well, it's mostly caught than taught, simply seeing how it is done. He saw how Paul would bring the gospel, contend for the faith. And again, for the using that illustration of being in the battlefield, Timothy, as an armor bearer, would see the soldier Paul engaging in warfare. He would see how Paul would take the sword of the Spirit in the battlefield and how he would use the sword of the Spirit carefully, being led by the Lord, understanding his surroundings, understanding the people who were listening to him, not backing down from an argument, not trying to win the argument, but trying to win hearts, trying to win souls for the Lord. Timothy saw how Paul used the sword of the Spirit. He saw the doctrine that Paul was instructed by the Lord Jesus himself for those 3 years, as we know. Next, we say he carefully followed the manner of life. And no doubt it will stand out to Timothy the way Paul labored with his two hands, not to be a burden, but to bring the gospel. As mentioned, you know, it stood out to me as I was studying, because it is mentioned at least to three different churches that Paul would bring up and clearly state to the church in Corinth, Thessalonica, and Ephesus, found in 1 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, and Acts, about how he labored with his own hands, that he wouldn't be a burden to them. And he did it with the whole purpose of bringing the gospel, that nothing would be a hindrance to those, to his audience, to those he was trying to reach for the Lord. And that is a valuable characteristic for us men. We're called for hard work. Now, on the applicable side, you see, it's okay if there's early mornings and late nights, obviously with a balance, but there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us working hard, understanding the cause, understanding why, being down for the cause, being willing to cinch up, get our hands dirty, whether it's physical or spiritual. See, Paul's life reflected what he preached. Overall, no doubt, exercising mercy, forgiveness, being led by the Spirit, and above all, the manner of Paul's life reflected the grace in his life. See, the purpose, in Paul's own words, as far as his purpose, he would say in Philippians 1:21, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Simple, yet as powerful as it can be. Simple, because that's the purpose here where Paul's sharing with the Philippian church in Philippi. He wanted to bring glory to the Lord Jesus. He wanted to bring the good news. And he had a purpose. And let that be a prayer for us today. Lord, may my purpose be to glorify you in all that I do. Whether it means hard work, whether it means being an example, Lord, may my life be to bring glory to you. Following after the purpose, it says, "But you have carefully followed my faith." See, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, it reads, "For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." There was conviction, there was understanding, and there was understanding of the faith. What was it that moved Paul? Again, it wasn't blind faith, but rather it was faith because of the encounter and the revelation of the living God. He was following the true and the living God with a purpose. He knew where he was going, in a sense, and that was following the Lord, wherever that may be that the Lord would lead him to. After his long suffering, the thorn in the flesh will no doubt be an example here of Paul's long suffering, the calling to be valiant, of the Lord comes with long suffering, comes with that training. You see, as a page, the young boys will get on that horse and start fighting the dummy, whether with a wood sword or the long javelin, the spear. And they will start fighting the dummy and start realizing there is pain. But with pain comes much gain. And there is a need that we as men know and partake of the suffering, for it is in those times that we do experience that fellowship with the Lord unlike any other time. And here Paul, understanding and encouraging Timothy some of these characteristics of what the calling would mean, long-suffering being one of them. Love and perseverance. Here Paul's love for the Jews was unlike any other, enduring hardship and tribulation, and the perseverance for bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, to keep bringing them the gospel, despite of the danger to his life, despite of the traveling, of being robbed, the shipwrecked, didn't matter. There's a perseverance to follow after the Lord. And gentlemen, the same needs to be for us. Do we love the Lord? Are we going to persevere for him and how it looks in our lives to carry forth his will? Do you have a love for the lost and persevere to share with those around you who might be watching? It's easy to turn around and say, man, I'm too busy right now. But are you willing, once again, to cinch up and realize there's a need around you? There's a need within our families, within our communities. There's a need in the church. And the call for valor. And it looks like this: love and perseverance. We continue, it says, persecutions and afflictions. Yes. Persecutions and afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, were persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul assuring Timothy of the persecutions and the afflictions are awaiting, but understanding and Timothy witnessing that out of them all, the Lord delivered Paul. And it's important for us to highlight this in our Bibles, or take tally in our hearts, that out of all the persecution and the affliction that we must endure for the Lord Jesus, out of them all, the Lord will deliver. Paul encouraging Timothy that there is hard times coming. You must deal with hard situations. You are going to have to man up and deal with the hard things. The same thing is for us, man. We're going to have to man up, not ignore the problem, but rather deal with it, grabbing the bull by its horns and dealing with it, owning up if it means that we've wronged someone, owning up to our mistakes. Again, we see here, we must have this mind as we desire to follow the Lord. There will arise persecution and affliction for his name's sake, but we must stand. See, in Ephesians 6:10, Paul will write, finally, inspired by the Holy Spirit, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, our strength doesn't come from within ourselves. Our strength is found in the Lord. That is the key as to how we stand. Finding our strength, finding our identity in him. Our identity in Christ Jesus as men. Verse 13, it tells us, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, this verse introduces here another threat in which Paul will make it known to Timothy, but will continue to dismantle and share insight of how to neutralize the threat of the enemy. And by threat, I don't mean because it's we know that we wrestle not against flesh nor blood, but rather in the spiritual. Here, the threat of deceit, of how the enemy uses lies. After people fall for the lies, then they are deceiving because they've been deceived themselves. So men would be rising and growing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, Paul won't shy away from sharing with Timothy of the incoming threat. Evil men, imposters, pretenders, not contenders. And the Lord desires that we grow more and more. Interestingly enough here, how sin has the opposite effect, in that evil men and imposters will grow more and more. No, the tactic of the enemy here is deceit, lies. Very important to know, for we all can fall prey to the lies of the father of lies. Like I said, he was going to move, after introducing the threat in the next couple of verses, how to deal with such things and the importance, for us as men to understand that in our own lives. Understanding the threat. Yes, there might be a physical threat around the corner, but the bigger threat are the lies of the enemy that want to steer our lives, our hearts, our minds away from the Lord, whether to a person or simply away from the Lord. Verse 14 and 15, I'm going to read, but you must continue in these things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, after warning Timothy of the deceit, Paul exhorts Timothy, you must continue. The battle is raging, but you must continue. The lies are coming, but you must continue. Paul used militant vocabulary earlier in the epistle. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles themselves with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see, we too must continue moving forward in the Lord. Since not only did Timothy learn these things, but he is now being assured of them. We too must continue moving forward in the Lord. And what was Timothy assured of? What was Timothy's weaponry for this threat that Paul is introducing? The Holy Scriptures. See, after introducing the threat imposed by the evil men and the imposters that are bringing deceit, he shares the weaponry given and entrusted to Timothy, as if Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you witnessed warfare. You've seen the power of God's word, the Holy Scriptures, the sword of the Spirit. Timothy, you've seen the power of God lived out fearlessly through God's word. That's how we battle warfare. See, 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ Jesus, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. That reminder again, man, that we're called to engage in warfare. And it's easy to said than done. And even as we think about that, how does that apply to me? I can't do it. It seems difficult. I would submit to you guys, it's a matter of surrendering to the Lord. As we listened earlier, surrendering when we're alone to the Lord, coming clean before the Lord, owning up our weaknesses, and asking for forgiveness. Please, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Help me engage in this warfare. And as a man called to be valiant, Timothy had been entrusted and shown what was his weaponry. See, when the armor bearer came to a point when in battle, being in battle, the knight, the king or the soldier, whoever was over that armor bearer would see and recognize the armor bearer has proven himself, has shown that there is a calling here. The knight would place the sword in recognition of the time for that armor bearer to become a knight. And here, Paul, in a similar way, is now encouraging and exhorting Timothy. Timothy, it's time. You've been instructed. This is your weaponry. Here's your sword. Moving now to verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all scripture, that is from Genesis to Revelation, given by inspiration of God, the authoritative word of God. And here, what does it profit? Well, it profits for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Paul, in essence, is preparing Timothy, again, for engaging in warfare, explaining what he's going up against, but also how to deal with it, with the Holy Scriptures. And here the outcome of that the man of God may be complete and fully equipped. You see, we need to be complete and fully equipped in Christ Jesus, ready for whatever is in front of us, whatever the Lord opens up a door for. It looks different for all of us, but we must be complete and ready, fully equipped with that armor of God. As we're called to be valiant, we must be ready. You see, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us be ready, as our calling can only be fulfilled through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Wherever we may find ourselves today, I would encourage you, gentlemen, let's continue to stand firm and continue to realize where it is that our strength comes from and what it is that the Lord would have us do. Let's pray. Lord, again, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our lives, Lord. Lord, we recognize that you alone are good, Lord. And it is only by your mercy and your grace, Lord, through your forgiveness of our sin, Lord, that we're here as men, Lord. And we praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the life that we find in you, the life that we have in you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the rest of our day, Lord, through the teaching of your word, and that you would build us up, Lord, to be more like you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.